Thank you for listening to this message from City Church, located in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. For additional information, please visit citychurchpa.org.
We are entitling this whole year the Year of Biblical Literacy as a church, and we're looking at this because if I'm looking at the church as a whole, I would say that we most of the problems that we have are not only just that. A lot of times we will try to blame them on every single other place, but I look at them as manual problems. When I'm saying manual problems is that a lot of times I've gone and bought something and usually I neglect the manual and begin to build it up by myself and realize when I'm right in the middle of it that I actually didn't pay attention to the manual. So I usually go back in the manual and start to retrace my steps, and usually I put it together. In fact, I'm reminded of just Christmas time, my son got this Pikachu Lego set that he got. And when he got it, it's this Lego set that's it's complex. And so as he was building it, and him and my wife were building it, and at some point, I remember Judah getting flustered and frustrated because there was one part that just couldn't fit in. In fact, he was so mad at the fact that this set to the point that we sent him upstairs to go and take a nap. Because he was frustrated. So I looked at him and I said, hey, listen, I'm going to try to fix this. And so I remember going back and actually starting to just to retrace the steps. And by the time he came downstairs, I had looked at the manual every single step. I think we were on step 128 at that point. But I just went all the way back to maybe step number 50. And that's where I found where the problem was. And I fixed it. And when he came down, he was like, thank you so much, you fixed it. And I think as a church and as the people of God, we have what we call manual problems. When we're looking at marriage, we're looking at our lives, we're looking at everything. One of the reasons is because we don't go back to the manual very often. We don't go back to the Word of God that helps us with life. And in fact, Pew Research that is done across America says a quarter of Americans didn't read a single book in the last year, right? And it will say that like only 45% less than half of those who regularly attend the church read their Bibles more than once a week. 40% say that they read their Bibles occasionally, but it's usually once or twice a month. 18% say that they never read the Bible. So if you could look at this, we've got manual problems. We've got manual, and not only that, but yet we have this unprecedented, like, just access to the Bible. The Bible continues, in fact, up to now in all history to be the best seller of all history. It continues to be the best seller. There's 2.3 billion Bibles given away every single year. There's 25 million Bibles that are sold in the U.S. every single year. And 9 out of 10 households in the U.S., even the atheists, have a Bible in their room, in their houses. Right? And in fact, they say that like sometimes it is likely that we have more physical Bibles than humans in your household most of the times. Right? And not only that, if you follow, there's this YouVersion Bible app. In fact, last year they looked and they say that it is one of the most downloaded Bible apps, and in fact, it's downloaded every 1.3 seconds. Every 1.3 seconds, as we're sitting here, somebody's downloading a Bible app. So, but the issue that's there is that we've got a problem of biblical literacy in the church today. And I call that manual problems. But what is the reason for biblical literacy? One of the greatest reasons, I could go into 50 of them, but I'm going to really just camp on this one today. One of the reasons why it's important for us to read the Bibles is because we are followers of Jesus. And being followers of Jesus, maybe let me kind of even bring it closer. We are followers of Jesus, and Jesus loved the scriptures, so therefore we ought to love the scriptures. And Jesus meditated on the scriptures, therefore we ought to meditate on them. Jesus' ministry was shaped by the scriptures, therefore our ministry as a church ought to be shaped by the scriptures. Amen? And then we should desire the same kind of relationship with the scriptures, the same, because Jesus had a relationship with the scriptures. So that's if there's going to be a big reason why I could give you all the other reasons, but because we are followers of Jesus, let's look first of all at Jesus' relation with the scriptures, and let's actually find our model and motivation to get into the scriptures from our Lord and Savior. Right? And that's one of the reasons why we're going to go. We read Matthew chapter 4. Let me kind of read Matthew chapter 4 for you. And I want to show you here what's happening is that Jesus, after he's baptized, it says that the Holy Spirit sends him into the desert. And he goes and spends 40 days and 40 nights out there in the desert, which is a very good mirror of the children of Israel spending 40 years in the wilderness. And what the children of Israel couldn't do in the desert, Jesus is able to do even in the desert. So Jesus is going to go out there, and then Satan comes in just as he came to the children of Israel and begins to tempt him. It says that in verse 1, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. So there was a reason why he goes in there. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. Yeah, I think Jesus was weak. No. 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. If you could underline anything. But Jesus answered and said, man. And I love this because Jesus is going to be looked at the second Adam coming in, and he's going to say, where the first man failed, and the second man is going to come and get it right. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. At this point, Satan is coming and he is trying to recommend to Jesus what Jesus really needs. And he's saying, you need to use your powers to multiply these stones into bread because you need to focus on your needs at this moment. But at that moment, he says, no, the Holy Spirit is the one who led me here. And until he has finished his purpose, I'm not going to take recommendations from you. It is written. So it's showing us a relation, God, Jesus' relation to the scriptures. He would rather depend on what is written versus what his needs are saying at that moment. Right? And at that moment, in fact, the one great preacher said that at this moment, this is where Satan is wanting to adopt Jesus and recommend what is good for him. And at this moment, he says, no, it is written. God has already adopted me. I'm his son. And it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. And at this moment, Jesus shows us one thing, that the scriptures are sufficient for us as the people of God. This is, the scriptures are sufficient. He's showing us the sufficiency of scripture to sustain the people of God. Just the sufficiency of scripture to sustain man. So when we neglect the scriptures, we neglect our sufficiency. And we will run to stones and try to turn them into bread and find that it will not what? Sustain. Right? We find that it will not sustain. In fact, if you follow the hip-hop culture very well, in fact, when somebody's saying, I am working hard, they say, man, fam, I'm trying to get bread. And but the problem with that is the fact that, will this bread sustain you? Will this bread sustain you? And the truth is that Jesus is going to say, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And you're going to see this next week, that scriptures are inspired by God. And here, where the children of Israel complained in the wilderness and they demanded bread from God and they died in the wilderness, Jesus refuses bread and he lives in submission to God's word. And Jesus comes out of the desert. The children of Israel couldn't come out of the desert. So we have a choice. If we leave this in this desert of life, will we listen to our needs and everything that's going on in us, or are we going to follow Jesus even out of the desert? Let's look at temptation number two here. Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against the stone. And Jesus replies him again and says, what? It is written. Underline that. You shall not put the Lord your God to the test. And at this point, he is actually going back to Psalm 91, and he is saying that there's a twisting that Satan is doing here. But what he's really doing here is that Satan is commanding Jesus to obey him, but he's also using scripture to do that. Man, like, listen, if you have been on earth for a very long time, in fact, turn on Christian television, you will see how much scripture is twisted to actually use to point to satisfy people's selfish needs. And Satan can come behind that and say, man, why don't you do this? I mean, it's written, that's what Jesus said. And at this moment, this is where Jesus uses the second scripture here in this passage to point out that such an act will contradict all other passages of scripture. And here he's showing us this coherence of scripture that's there. The fact that the scriptures, it's one story and it doesn't end. Although sometimes from afar, we look at it and we see contradictions. But really when you look closer, you will see that it's one story and God never contradicts himself. But Satan is going to be looking for those loopholes in there, right? And temptation number three, you see Satan kind of really just pushing Jesus and says, again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. Showed him everything. And he says, listen. And he said to him, all these I will give you. In fact, this is going to speak to the drive of humanity on the inside. It's because we know there's a payoff at the end. What is it that we're going to get? All these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me. If you let me be your Lord. If you fall down. If you let me adopt you fully, Jesus. I'm going to give you all these things. But Jesus is going to say, then Jesus said to him, be gone, Satan. You see the power of scripture? Be gone, Satan. It is written. So some of us are assailed by Satan every single day, but we neglect the manual. Here Jesus is showing us that like what he just needs in order to escape from the snare of the enemy is to go back into what has been written, the God-breathed word of God. And he says, be gone. It is written that, look at this, it is written that you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. And then the devil left him. That's beautiful. I don't know whether you see that. That is beautiful. And he left him because what? And it says, and behold, the angels came and ministered to him. So for the third time here, Satan is looking and trying to twist scripture. And here you see Jesus going back to Deuteronomy chapter 6. And it says, no. You are contradicting God's word and saying, worship me, when God has said, worship him alone. And this kind of brings it into whatever we call an idol. What is an idol? Tim Keller will define it in this way. An idol is that which in life, you if it was to be taken away from you, you would lose it. You would feel like your life has lost all meaning. And here, you're getting to see Jesus saying, no. It is written. What is it that's saying, worship me? It is written. And so for us as a church, we're going to go into the scriptures because we see how Jesus even, listen, you and I could probably never even survive those kind of temptations. You and I could never survive. That's why if you follow the hip-hop culture, we're always saying, oh, he signed his soul to the devil, right? Or musicians or whatever it is. And there's always this thing of like, no, he has the world around his fingers because the devil, he signed his soul to the devil. You and I could never survive that. And in fact, all these were temptations that Israel failed. But Jesus fulfilled, and he says, and so for us, our trust in the Bible, I love what Andrew Wilson says in his book, Unbreakable. He says this, look at this, it's going to be up there. Our trust in the Bible stems out from our trust in Jesus Christ. I don't trust in Jesus because I trust in the Bible. I trust the Bible because I trust in Jesus. I love him. I've decided to follow him. So if he talks and he acts as if the Bible is trustworthy, listen, follower of Jesus, if he acts as if it's trustworthy, authoritative, and good, helpful, and also powerful, I will too. And even if some of my questions remain unanswered and all my answers remain unpopular, I'm going to trust him. So what is our goal this year? Our goal is to grow in the Bible, getting to know the Bible. And in fact, I'm going to take us to John 5:39. Look at what Jesus says. He's talking to the Pharisees. He says, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it is they that bear witness about who? Me. I love that. Because now I'm curious to read Genesis. And how beautiful it is when you're reading Genesis and you see that everything from there is pointing to Jesus. I mean, I just read Genesis this week in our Bible reading plan, and I'm seeing Eve give birth to her first son and thinking this is going to be him, and seeing her get disappointed. And you're seeing this story begin to advance. Every one of them, is this him? No, it's not him. And it's advancing until in Bethlehem, in that manger, he comes. Heaven sings. And earth rejoices because he has finally come. Say, so you search them, and yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life. So what is the what of this year for us is that we want to study the scriptures diligently. Why do we want to study them diligently? To continually find life in Jesus. That's it. to continually find life in Jesus and to continually come to Him. And this is what to find life is, which is to continually to know Jesus. And just like any relationship, our depth of love is only so deep as our knowledge of that person. I love what Jen Wilking wrote in her book, Women of the Word, says, the heart cannot love that which the mind does not know. The heart cannot love that which the mind does not know. So in the scriptures, we get to find out who He is. He is the culmination of all scriptures. And in fact, He's going to say that in Matthew chapter 5. He's going to say, I've not come to abolish the law. I've come to fulfill the law. He's the culmination of all scriptures. And I love Luke chapter 24 when the reason Jesus shows up to His disciples. Look at Luke chapter 24 verse 27. He says this, and beginning with Moses and all the prophets, one of the reasons why you ought to endure through Leviticus and Numbers, and even though it's going to bore you to death, it says this, and beginning in Moses and what? And going through the prophets, and man, stay with the course, right? And He interpreted all the scriptures, the things concerning Himself. Look at Luke chapter 24, verse 44. And then He said to them, the disciples, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, before I died and I rose again, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, this is the first five books of the Bible, and in the prophets, that's all the prophets, and in the Psalms, listen to that, must be fulfilled. Then He opened their minds to understand the scriptures. I love that. Open their minds to understand the scriptures. So that this is here where you see Jesus beginning His ministry in Luke chapter 4, where He goes, opens Isaiah chapter 61, reads it, and before He sits down, He says, today this now has been fulfilled. And He begins to fulfill every single prophecy in the Bible concerning the Messiah who is coming. And at this point, He's ending His ministry on earth. He's ending this and by actually announcing that everything has been fulfilled. To the disciples in the road to Emmaus, He opens their eyes. And then here we see, and to these disciples here, He opens their minds to understand Scripture. Which really just kind of helps us. That man, like maybe if you're struggling to read Scripture, maybe you need to begin to try to read it from the posture of depending on Jesus to open your eyes and open your mind. And He promises that says, man, if you come hungry, blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Right? And then He's going to say that in the next passages. For example, in Matthew chapter 7, He says, man, if the fathers of this earth be evil, know how to give good gifts to their children, how much more will I not give you the Holy Spirit if you ask? He will open up your mind to understand Scripture. Maybe that's the posture we need to when we need to read Scripture from. I love one of my heroes in church history is John Calvin, but they say that he read the Bible on his knees. Maybe we ought to try that. If you're not getting it, posture yourself. Maybe physically get on your knees and read it from there and just say, I'm depending on you. And the Puritans used to read the Bible, and when they were reading the Bible, they would always be crying, more light, God, more light. Shine more light into your living scriptures, for this is how I get to move forward. Men shall not live by bread alone. My Savior said that. Shine more light in here. So I'm just wondering, for me, today, if I am successful in one thing, I'm praying that the Spirit of God will awaken your taste buds for the Word of God, that you would get into the Word of God this year and stop following he said, she said. Listen, a 30-minute sermon, 40 minutes, an hour if you let me go. Listen, like it will not help you much unless you go and you study the Scriptures for yourself. Right? And in fact, in the book of Acts, there's this little group called the Bereans that would hear the Scriptures, and they would go and they would confirm everything that was said and say, yes, it is true. And I'm praying that God would take you and me and fire us up in that way, that when I come and I open the Scriptures here, that you would go home and you would open and confirm on your own. In fact, that's one of the reasons why we have cults going on in the world today. Because people just depend on this one person tell us everything about life. And that's where now you get to hear just as much, even turn on Christian TV. Man, people are so quick to defend their pastor more than defend the Scriptures today. And what a joy for me when I get a Facebook message or I get a phone call and say, you say this, but it says this here. But talk to me. I'm like, let's grab coffee. Let's open the Word of God. And I'm like, yes, finally, we're doing it. Amen. That's I'm just praying that today I'll just push you towards that. So what is the fruit of biblical literacy? The fruit is that you're going to grow individually. You're going to grow as a person. Research shows that the number one correlation to spiritual maturity as a Christian is reading the Bible. Get in the Word of God by yourself. And soak yourself in the Word of God. In fact, Psalm 37 is going to say, delight yourself in the Lord. I love this. And he will give you the desires of your heart. And what I love about that is the fact that that word delight is almost like, it's like the only way you can describe what delight is like is to take a sponge and put it in water. And that sponge begins to delight in the water. Sucks it all in. And in such a way that if you take it out of there and squeeze it, what it has delighted in is it what? Is what it oozes out of it. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires. You will find that even your desires begin to change. Because you have now delighted in the word of the Lord. And in fact, Colossians 1:3-16 is going to say, let the word of God richly dwell in you. That's it. Whatever it is. And let me tell you this now. If you are not delighting yourself in the Lord, it means you are delighting in something else. And whatever it is that you delight in is what comes out of you when now you need life solutions. Right? Just whatever it is that you're delighting in. So my goal is not for us to become Bible nerds. I'm not asking because, my goal is not to turn us into little Pharisees, because that's what they were. They knew the Word of God, and here Jesus is going to confront. He says, you search the Scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have what? Eternal life, right? They were searching the Scriptures. They were getting in here. They thought eternal life was going to be found in there. They treated the Bible like a savior, as if it alone can provide the solution, and they misused it for its use. The Bible is a witness, not a savior. Amen? The Bible is a witness, not a savior. It testifies of Jesus, who is the antidote and to the disease of our sin. So diligence over the Scriptures without Jesus as their end is the wrong way to read the Bible. If the Scriptures are not pushing you towards Jesus, then you're probably reading them wrong. Let me tell you this. Even businessmen read the Bible to find business principles and not Jesus. Right? Even egotistical tyrants read the Bible to find a justification of their own sin in there so that they can justify their own thing. I mean, read history and learn that even people that enslaved people, the transatlantic slavery was justified by scriptures, you hear me? You could find anything to justify anything in the Bible as long as Jesus is not the end of that. And if Jesus is the end of that, then it will confront your sin. Amen? So the Bible is the best sold book, but it's also the most abused book ever. Because I could find anything. Man, go to some part of the woods in whether it's Maryland or whatever. You'll find people that have found one verse in the Bible in Matthew chapter 16. And they say, listen, you don't come into a church unless you hold a poisonous snake. And then all of a sudden, man, people are getting beaten and they're dying. And it's like, I'm like, this is crazy. I wouldn't follow Jesus if it required me to hold a snake. Just seriously, though. Anyway, I'm going to digress. So if we study the Bible and but stop short of coming to Jesus himself, we're no different than the unsaved Pharisees. But also what we're wanting to see is also our church to grow, church growth here. Our church to grow. If you look at Luke chapter 24, verse 46, it says, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. I love that. To all nations. That's why the church becomes a just different organism altogether. We are preaching repentance and forgiveness in Christ. Christ is the promised Savior, one that was promised that he will. Now, in fact, if you're reading Genesis chapter 3:15, you'll see where God promises that the serpent will what? That from this day onwards, there's going to be enmity between you and man. And then, but the seed will come and he will crush the serpent's head. But yet he is going to be bruised himself. And if you read that with Isaiah chapter 57, you will get to see that Jesus is the seed who comes in and he crushes Satan, and but yet he feels the sting of death by dying on the cross for us. And you get to see this is a beautiful story going. So we get to grow as a church because now we can now proclaim the word of God. Open up and say people from every nation, every tongue, and every tribe can now get to know Jesus. We can now take all our resources and as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can grow because now, listen, though the world is offering hate, drawing lines on who can do what and cannot do what, but the church has the message of forgiveness and repentance in Jesus Christ, who has died to ransom people from all nations, the one who has proclaimed in Revelation 11 that all the kingdoms of the earth have become the kingdoms of our God. Now we can preach this gospel. And so the church, the small c, the church, which is us, is going to grow. But also the big C, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, is going to grow and it's going to thrive. There is no ruler, nobody who can shut it down. It's going to continue to grow. Amen. It's unstoppable. Right? It's unstoppable. It's going to continue to grow. And so we're going to, together as a church, continue to come to Jesus. And he says, you refuse to come to me. We're going to come to Jesus and we're going to grow in knowing him. So to study the Bible is not so that we can become better Christians, but that we would grow in our love for God. And that we would submit everything in his name. I love what John Piper says. He says, true knowledge of God leads to new passions for God, which produces holy living before God. And what happens is that when the church becomes, lives and becomes a holy church, it becomes even a witness to the world. It becomes a witness to the Lord. So that's where you will see also this missional growth that would happen there, because proper Bible reading produces this result. Sin is exposed, the Savior is offered, but also he fires us up to tell everyone we can find. So biblical literacy is the foundation to even you actually getting a burden for your workmate and telling them about who Jesus is. So we'll grow in serving Jesus. Look at Luke chapter 24, verse 47. And that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed. You see that word proclaimed, it means that somebody's got to say something. Somebody's got to say something. It should be proclaimed. But look at this. We always get scared to actually say something because we think it's about us. In his name. You underline that. He's the one who has all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Now, go, therefore. You hear that? Now, I'm no longer scared of anybody because the one who has all authority has sent me and he has purchased their salvation. So, therefore, I am going to tell. And listen, most of the people that need Jesus sometimes are rejecting him even today. And Jesus is going to say, man, prepare for rejection if I'm sending you to go tell them. And you are witnesses of these things. I love that. You are witnesses. And behold, I'm sending the promise of my Father upon you. And I love this. But stay in the city and you will be clothed in power from high. So it is to be done in his name, but it is also to be done in his power. As he is changing us, we're being strengthened. And in fact, Acts chapter 1:8 is going to say, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the world. So can you see this? This is what's so beautiful about this. We read the scriptures, and we read them from this posture of asking him to open up our eyes. So for us, this is what the pathway of biblical literacy is for us this year. It's going to be, I'm just asking if you could commit to doing this, reading consistently and contemplatively. Reading consistently. And listen, I know that some of us might, and consistently here, I'm not saying read, like some of us might miss one day. I'm not saying wake up there that day and beat yourself up because you've missed. I'm saying consistently figure out. In the Bible app that we have, that we're promoting, that we're using, it actually even gives you the option of reading at your own pace. But my prayer is that we would read the scriptures consistently, but also contemplatively. What do I mean by that? Read it with the posture of getting ready for God to speak to you. Read it with open hands of faith and ask God, if Jesus could not live by bread alone, but by every word, as a follower of Jesus, God, would you speak to me? Could I live? And if you do not feed me, I know I'm going to run to every other idol. Could you feed me? Read it depending on him. But read scripture in context, which means that like read the whole Bible. Don't today one of the issues that we have is that we have people that cherry pick the verses that they like. The Instagram way of reading the Bible, the Pinterest way of reading the Bible. It's like, oh, I love that. And just like, we're going to find like, and it, usually some people turn, I'm okay with those Bibles, but they turn to the back and they say, I'm struggling with depression today. I'm just going to read that. I'm struggling with this today. I'm just asking us if we can, this Bible reading plan that we have, and we're going to be preaching through that the whole year. is going to take us in through the story of the Bible to understand the Bible in context as one story. Amen? And I'm going to ask us to read in community. Read in community. And this is now what I mean by that is that it's so easy to give up if you read by yourself. Because you're like, man, I don't understand what's going on. But reading in community, and this is what we've done in our home groups, and not only that, for just a lot of people in the church, we've been doing what we call community Bible reading. And we're using the same format where we're creating these groups. We're creating these groups where if you're reading something and on that day you get to share what God is doing in your life. In fact, the Bible reading plan that's out there is going to show you the format of that, where you get to read, what does it look like? How do you read the Bible that day? And then at the end it says prepare for community. Share with somebody in your community what God is doing. What did he convict you with? What is it doing? And you share that with somebody and ask for somebody to pray with you. Ask what's confusing. And it's always amazing when you see people do that. Amen? Read it in community. Don't take the Christian life was never meant to be done by yourself. And then the last thing is read it commissionally. Read it commissionally. Read it with the intent of hearing and obeying. Of hearing and obeying. What has God impressed in your heart that day? And I promise you, by the end of the year, you're going to look back and you're going to see that Christ has formed you over and over. And so for us, we read the scriptures because Jesus read them and found life in them. And so we are followers of Jesus. And so we're going to follow Jesus. If you want to follow Jesus to the cross, you've got to follow him first through the word of God, right? This is what we mean by the gospel. We're not only just talking about, we're talking about the life, the death, the birth, the life, the death, and the resurrection of our Lord, and his ascension, and his ruling and reigning, and he's coming back to us. He came and lived a life we could not live. And so that we can live a life like his, we need to depend on what he depended on. He depended on the word of God and the spirit of God throughout his life.
Thank you for listening to this message from City Church, located on Williamsport, Pennsylvania. For additional information, please visit citychurchpa.org.